We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Mike Gorman, and you're listening to Green with Envy with Will, Adam, and Greg.
All right, everybody. It is another Thursday live stream here with Green with Envy. We're going to continue the talks about the Drew Holiday extension. There's only three games left in the regular season, and the East is still all types of a disaster below the Celtics. So we're going to look at all the different playoff scenarios and see if we can figure out what is the ideal playoff path for the Boston Celtics. All that and more coming up next here on Green with Envy. Let's lock in. What up? Welcome into another edition of Green with Envy. It is a Thursday live stream, the last live stream of the regular season. Celtics will wrap up their season Sunday afternoon against the Washington Wizards. Also, sadly, Mike Gorman's last call on the mic. So we'll definitely have some coverage for you after that game, talking about Mike Gorman, as well as getting into all the playoff breakdown. So be on the lookout for that. The Celtics, as we're recording this tonight, have two games before that, including one against the New York Knicks. And we're going to look at all the different playoff scenarios that's going on in the East. And of course, we already recorded a podcast about Drew Holiday's extension, but we do want to make sure we continue that conversation. So as you're getting in here to this live stream, start to drop your questions in the chat. Let us know what you're thinking. I'm your boy, Will Weir, and of course, riding shotgun, we got my best friend, co-host, and the coach of our podcast, the one and only Greg Menakis. How you doing today, man?
I'm good. I made the mistake last night of looking at the YouTube comments. I never look at the YouTube comments because it always just like sends me down a rabbit hole. But I want to give a personal apology to Landon Lakes, who commented that I needed to put some clothes on because I was wearing my basketball outfit after the game last night. And Landon said, like, Greg, showing off a lot of skin there. So I made sure today I'm wearing a little bit more coverage, less skin.
A little more conservative. So
Landon, this shirt was 100% for you. Thank you for your feedback.
Shout out to Landon. And a good listener of the show here. So we hopped on last night, talked a little bit about the Drew Holiday extension. And honestly, if you're joining us right now, start to put some comments in the chats. I'd love to hear if you're loving this deal, if you have any questions about it, if you're a little bit skeptical, let us know, because I would love to get some more opinions. I think from what I've seen so far, Greg, and this is just based on, you know, looking around Twitter, and it kind of feels like the vibes are pretty high. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with where this team currently is and the way that Drew Holiday has produced. It's pretty hard to have too much of a gripe, you know, with this contract. And I think, you know, Drew Holiday even talked about it himself, is that when he came to Boston, and he talked about it on the Draymond podcast, it was all kind of a whirlwind from getting traded from Milwaukee to Portland briefly and then to Boston. But since he's gotten to Boston, it feels like once that extension eligible period came about, which was earlier this month, April 1st is when it started, it felt like this was an inevitability, and it came through in some of Drew's comments today. But I'm curious, let's start with you, Greg, before we go through some of Drew's comments. You know, you've had a little extra time to marinate on Drew Holiday, now locked in four more years after this season concludes. How are you feeling? Any new opinions about this contract extension?
No, I mean, today was me kind of just like looking around, checking the pulse of the rest of Celtics Twitter and, you know, checking on Adam Celtics Chronicle. Shout out to Celtics Chronicle. He had a great piece where he asked some questions. He did a little Q&A with Keith. And basically, Keith said all the same stuff that we said on the pod last night. So that made me feel pretty good about our pod because, you know, that was kind of instant reaction. So getting to see Keith kind of reiterate a lot of the same stuff that we were talking about on the pod last night. If you want to hear those thoughts, go back one episode on the pod feed or on the YouTube channel. But yeah, I feel really good about it, man. One thing I did want to pull up really quickly here. This is just an estimated Boston Celtics salary cap and tax workbook from the legend himself, Danger Cart, Ryan Bernardoni on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this yet. Will, have you seen
this? I have not. Let's get a live reaction to it.
So this right here, he put this together. He does his own like Excel sheet that you can download or whatever. So if you're not following Danger Cart at Danger Cart, make sure you do. He's got some good stuff. But I want to just pull this up here and let's just adjust that. So you can kind of see this is just like what the Celtics salary cap and tax would look like in the future, right? So some of the stuff that you see here is obviously estimations like Kristaps Porzingis. He just has him at $40 million a year in 26-27. That's if we decide to bring it back with Porzingis. Mm-hmm. He's got Derek White extension, I think, at the max level that that extension can go to each of those years, so on and so forth. But what you'll see down the bottom is the estimated salary cap and the total salary, and then down the very bottom, the estimated tax that the Celtics would be paying based off of their roster. And this, we know, is a very expensive roster, but I think this is a good estimation to see how expensive this roster could be if we wanted to keep it intact. So to me, when I looked at this salary cap and tax workbook from our guy at Danger Cart, I just thought to myself, okay, the things we said last night about this being a two-year window are very true. And you're probably not going to see this version of the team intact when you get to 26, 27, 27, 28. There's probably going to be some moves in this, you know, when we talk about Jrue Holiday's contract being a very tradable contract, Jaylen Brown's contract being a very tradable contract, there's going to be some move. So what we need to do right now is just enjoy the window while we have it.
Yeah, the looking at the estimated tax for 25-26, that number is jarring to say the least. $313 million. Now that's factoring in, you know, a few other contracts. We don't know what's going to happen, but yeah, it's like you said, this year, next year, enjoy every single moment that you can, because starting in 25-26, that's when it will really start to get super tight. And it's going to potentially be unfeasible to keep. Now, some of this will change depending on, once again, this is estimated salary cap. So some of this can fluctuate with whatever happens with the new CBA deal that's coming up here. New TV deal, I should say, is actually what's on the looming horizon. That's going to change a lot of the dynamics financially within the NBA. But yeah, these next 2 years, we're locked and loaded. This playoffs, let's go. Let's enjoy it. Next year, we're good to go. We're feeling comfortable. 25-26, 26-27, that's when it starts to get really tough. And we're going to have to see, you know, I said this last night when we were recording, is that, you know, Wick in the ownership group had said a couple years ago, we're willing to spend if it makes sense. This team wins a championship and they're close to it. They're no doubt they're spending as of right now. I would qualify them as a team that has lived up to their word, and they are spending for a team that is championship aspiration, that is right there. We fully expect them to likely get through the Eastern Conference. We'll talk more about that later, but at least they're at the very top of the NBA. And so when you see that they're already committing, they're pot committing, basically, I think it was $77 million for, it was either next year or the year after. And then when it starts to get to $300 million, that's a whole different ballgame. We're start talking, going up to that level. So once you get past that, that's when it's going to get a little bit dicey. So the Derek White situation, I think, is probably the biggest question mark in all of this. And I saw on that sheet, and I looked this up earlier because that was something when we were live reacting, I wasn't really sure what the numbers were with Derek White, but I believe the largest extension he can get based off his current deal is somewhere in the ballpark of about $27 million annually, which is what Ryan had in his estimate. And the question is going to become, for Derek White in their camp. If the Celtics do make that offer of that 27 per year, has Derek outplayed that? If Derek goes to the open market, is he going to get more? My gut tells me probably. So I think they're going to be in an interesting position waiting to see how that plays out. And I didn't get a chance to read Adam's piece yet, but did they talk about that as well?
They didn't go too much into that. This was pretty much the only excerpt from Adam's piece on Celtics Chronicle. Make sure you're subscribing in the YouTube links. You should see in the description, you should see the links to that. But he was just asking Keith in this Q&A. He said, with Holiday's contract secured, attention will turn to Derek White, who is extension eligible. Boston has White's bird rights. The question is, how much does Holiday's deal potentially impact Brad Stevens' ability to retain White as well? And Will, I'm going to ask you to play the part of Keith.
All right, let's go get this a little bit bigger because my eyes are not great. Retaining White is really a question for Stevens to work out with ownership. Nothing prevents Boston from signing White to whatever it will take to keep him beyond massive salary plus tax implications. All these moves are being done with the immediate and the long term in mind, but there's also a bit of let tomorrow's problems be tomorrow's problems at play here, such as life when you're trying to win a title. And I think that last part is really true. Tomorrow's problems is tomorrow's problems. And I think especially where the Celtics know that there was and I mentioned this last night, there's a little bit more control of where Drew Holiday is at in his career and what his financials were potentially going to look like. And, you know, he talked about it here in a clip that I'm going to play in just a second about, you know, his family being here and this kind of being the plan from the beginning. Whereas with Derek White, he probably has outplayed what the max extension you can get him for is. And so now you're at the mercy of he's probably going to have to do what's best for him. And that means getting to unrestricted free agency. And we're going to be limited with the type of tax restrictions that we have. And depending on who's making cap room at that time, if they want to come in for 35, 40 million. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but if someone wants to come do that, that's going to be probably too tough for the Celtics to match. So for that reason, locking in Drew probably makes even more sense. You can keep a little bit of control to your environment. But let's play this clip of Drew Holiday here for a second. And this is just him talking about the decision and basically how this was always the plan from when he got
there. Yeah, I think there was a little bump there in the beginning. Just, again, trying to get my bearings in the city in general. But I think it comes pretty easy. Just the type of guy that molds to my situation. And honestly, these players are really good. I think when you play with them, they make the game easy for you. This is probably one of the most that I've got so many open shots and just really just had to lock in and knock him down. So it's been, like I said, maybe a little bit in the beginning, but it's been pretty easy. Here, I feel like that was something that I wanted when I signed here. Obviously, knowing this is my 15th year, I know, you know what I mean, time is... it's coming, so I think being able to be on a team and being in an organization like this is big for me. But I think from the beginning, this is a part of what I wanted.
Yeah, and shout out to our friends over at CLNS for the clip that we grabbed there.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
But Greg, yeah, I think the Celtics here giving themselves some security with what they can, and especially with Drew Holiday being seemingly all about this decision from when he got here. I think at the end of the day, even if it's slightly more expensive, what are you really going to hassle over a couple, 2 to 3 million here or there per year? Let's get this done and let's keep it moving.
Yeah. And it's not like Drew Holiday is 35 years old right now, right? He's 33. He's still got a few good years as a 35 year old man, 34 year old man. We still have those moments where, you know, it doesn't feel like we're past our prime. You know, Drew's a couple of years younger than I am. Tip-top shape as a professional athlete. He's going to be fine for the next couple of years. It really just comes down to the tax implications. That has nothing to do with Drew Holiday on the court or Drew Holiday in the locker room. Drew Holiday is a world-class teammate. He's a world-class defender. He's probably going to make All-NBA defense this year, and he deserves it. And he's, you know, such an upgrade over Marcus Smart as a shooter that any Celtics fans that were initially worried about that, how much of an upgrade is Drew over Marcus? Like, we've put those questions to bed. Like, Drew Holiday is a superior player over Marcus Smart on both sides of the ball. Although Marcus did, you know, he had our heartstrings because of all the stuff Marcus Smart did. Marcus Smart wasn't shooting 60% from the corners, and there was just no way he was ever going to be able to do that. Drew Holiday is a perfect fit in Boston. And sometimes, you know, when you want to keep something together, you're going to have to pay for it, and the Celtics are going to pay for it. But I think the investment will be worthwhile, because I truly think this year the Celtics are going to win a title. They don't win it this year, then I see it happening next year.
Yeah, if they don't win it to the point, and we've been saying this since before this contract extension, it's always been a two-year window, talking about right. This year and next year, before you have to make some really tough decisions. And that's when it gets to, you know, you said it, I'm not ready to go down this rabbit hole, but if they don't win it this year or next year, the Jaylen Brown, because of the financial structure, becomes a question, even if it's not, you know, a scenario in which Jaylen Brown is taking fault. It's just, we got to keep this moving and we need to find the best way to do it. And maybe we get two $25 million guys that help us keep this moving by breaking up Jaylen's contract or whatever that might look like. So a 2-year window. And I think, you know, next year and years down the road, I think Drew Holiday is going to get a lot of that Al Horford type treatment. Meaning you're going to see a lot of back-to-backs where maybe you don't get Drew Holiday for those particular games, or, you know, if there's a slight, you know, knee contusion or, you know, whatever they want to label it as, some back management, you're going to see a few more of those labels for Drew Holiday. But at the end of the day, I like where this is going and the vibes are high. We're in a good place for this year. We're in a great place for next season. And as Keith said, tomorrow's problems will be tomorrow's problems. We will deal with that when we get there. It's all about the here and now. And that's the way I think you have to operate in this landscape of the NBA, is 2 to 3 years is what you're looking at. Everything else beyond that, you'll figure it out when you get there. Look 2 to 3 years right now in the present. And then if you can grab a championship or two while you're there, you've done it really, really well.
For sure. And just this, I just want to pause right here really quickly, just to remind everybody that's watching. This is a live stream. We do these Thursday live streams every Thursday at 5 Eastern, 4 Central. And what we'd like to do is to get a little bit of listener engagement. So if you're on YouTube or on Twitter, we'd love to see your comments, and we could read your comments on the screen here, what you're feeling about the Drew Holiday contract, your thoughts about what it might mean for the future of the Celtics, and obviously your thoughts on Drew this year and what it means for the Celtics and the vibes moving forward into the playoffs.
Yeah. So as we're recording this right now, it's a few hours here before the Celtics take on the Knicks, their third to last game of the season. As I talked about, looks like Drew Holiday may sit this one out. The latest update that we have at the time of this recording, he's listed as questionable, along with, it looks like Al Horford is also questionable. Kristaps is questionable. Tillman, Brissett, questionable. Horford is no longer questionable. It's like Horford, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum are available to play tonight. So Drew, Kristaps, Tillman, Brissett, all listed as questionable. So I think the Celtics, you'll see down the stretch here, once again, going to continue to do maybe three in, three out, whatever it might be, to make sure that we get to the finish line healthy. But health is where we want to go next, Greg. And we're going to get to the playoff scenarios here that exist, because basically only the Celtics have actually definitively clinched what exact seed they're going to be in the NBA, which is insane because there's 3 days left of the NBA season and the Celtics are going to be the one seed. Out west, the Clippers and the Mavericks are locked into the 4-5 matchup, but we don't know who's 4 and who's 5. And basically everywhere else has at least 3 teams that could end up in a certain seed. But starting in the east here, obviously we didn't do a post game the other night for Celtics Bucks. The biggest news out of that one, 2-2 series, Celtics Bucks. But the biggest news out of that one was Giannis leaving that game with a calf injury. Since they have done some MRIs, doesn't look like he avoided any type of structural damage. However, he is done for the rest of the regular season, so no Giannis the rest of the way here as the Bucks look to lock up the 2 seed. And you know, based on some comments Doc Rivers had earlier today, sounds like they don't really know what to expect, other than they're hoping that the rest of this week plus the 6 or so days they're going to get next week, not being in the play-in tournament, that they'll get is that hopefully in the next 10 days or so, just rest and rehab are going to be what gets the job done for Giannis. But, you know, Greg, what is this? How does this reshape your opinion of the Bucks, knowing that very likely, even if Giannis suits up for game one, he's probably not at 100% and in a type of, you know, a calf strain? Like, I, you know, obviously not breaking news here, we're not doctors, but I would imagine that's an injury that tends to linger around a bit and is one that can, you know, certainly not allow Giannis to be at his full capabilities.
Right. And for those of you that are listening on the pod and don't have the visual up here on the screen, I just want to read a tweet from at the Buck Zone IG verified account, so you know it's legit. It says Chris Haynes on Giannis Antetokounmpo's left calf injury. From the people I've spoken to there, the Bucks, not overly concerned about it. They do believe they will have him, Giannis, back for the playoffs. Hashtag fear the deer. Not fearing the deer at this point. Not fearing the deer. I don't think you were, you know, providing any groundbreaking analysis when we say that the Bucks are not the same team without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Although my guy, Bobby Portis, Crazy Eyes Portis, went off last night and was able to help the Bucks pretty much secure the 2 seed with his 30-point double-double that he had last night against the Magic. The Magic are the team that might slip down, you know, might slip down the standings.
We've got percentages coming up here in a minute.
The Sixers and the Bucks.
Last night was a big loss for the Magic as far as what their future could look like. Last night, if they had got that win, I don't know what the numbers would have been, but they would have been a game back of the Bucks. And now they're almost nearly as likely to be the 7 seed as they are anywhere from about 4 to 6. So that was a really big loss for the Magic. And the thing is, I mean, they didn't have Franz, but obviously the Bucks didn't have Giannis. The Bucks didn't have Middleton either in that game. So it was just big Bobby Portis night. Dame had a solid night. And so the point of going back to just Giannis here, you know, last year against the Heat, Giannis goes down. Was it game one or game two that he went down with that back injury?
I think it was game one.
I think it might have been game one as well, too. Yeah. And so I know the stat is that he only played half of the available minutes in that series. And so we know if you take Giannis out, you know, the Heat, as hot as they were, they made very quick work of the Giannis-less Bucks, right? That was a 5-game series. And so if you take him off this team, especially, which as we have harped on a ton on this show, the diminished or inconsistent Chris Middleton, because we saw a hot second where I was like, ah, shit, maybe this X factor of Chris Middleton's back. And then since then, it's dipped down again. So I don't know what to get from Chris Middleton. Dame, I think, has been an aged version of himself. I still think in the last 3 to 5 minutes, underwhelming. I still think in the last 3 to 5 minutes, you can get some vintage Dame, and that's where if they keep it close, it would be a scary proposition. Mm-hmm. But you remove Giannis, and if he's not at 100% with potentially a rematch with the Heat or drawing the Sixers now with the other guy on our graphic here, Joel Embiid back, the Bucks are in a position where they could be looking at back-to-back first round exits. That's kind of crazy to think about for that organization.
For all the, you know, the crazies out there that talk about you know, if the Celtics don't win a title there, they might have to trade some guys and blow it up. With the Bucks, if they don't win this year, man, they went all in on Dame Lillard. Like, they don't really have another outlet for them to be a successful franchise.
They've got one nuclear device, and that's Giannis. That's trading Giannis. That's the only blow it up option that there is. Right. And that's starting over from scratch, which, you know, they're going to scratch and claw not to do ever, because why would you trade a top five guy?
Right. But with going back to the calf strain, I think it was Marcus Smart maybe had a calf strain 2-3 years ago, where he ended up missing like a full month going into the playoffs, like right around the playoffs. I want to say KG, one of his injuries back in the day was a calf strain as well. Or no, it was Shaq, right? Didn't Shaq have that calf strain where he just couldn't play?
Is this the one where, like, the same season we traded Perk, and I think Danny Ainge even asked him, like, can you hold up? Shaq said no, and then Danny Ainge still made the trade.
Yeah, but that was a calf strain. You know, obviously he has about 100 pounds on Giannis to put on that calf strain, but he was unable to come back. Calf strains, just like hamstrings, can be really tricky. If Giannis is a hobbled version of himself, or if he's 80%, or if he doesn't trust his athleticism out there on the court, Giannis is one of the best players in the NBA because of his physical prowess, right? Mm-hmm. He's not necessarily the most skilled big man out there. He's going to overwhelm you with his physicality, yada, yada, yada. We all know how Giannis plays basketball. So if he can't go at 100%, the Bucks don't have a chance, man. They really don't. So at this point, if I'm a Bucks fan, I would feel about as bad as if you told me, I'm not even going to put it out there right now because I don't want it.
Yeah, don't.
I'm not going to say any words that could potentially curse the Celtics. So I would feel bad if something happened to the Celtics. I'll just say that. Like, what is the? I can't. I was going to say, what's the equivalent of Giannis going down? I'm saying it now.
I'm going to cut you off here. So let's transition here before Greg puts his foot in his mouth and curses all of Boston Celtic Twitter and Boston Celtic fan nation here. But let's go to the Embiid side of this, right? Because Embiid's coming back from the injury. So these are the two big looming giants in the East that are looking over the Celtics playoff chances that we're going to get to here in a second. And, you know, the Sixers right now are on, I believe it's a 6-game win streak right now. Embiid's been back for 4 of those games. He's playing 30 minutes a game. He's shooting 51% from the field, 45% from 3, 87% from the line, 30 points a game, 8.3 rebounds, 4.8 assists, 1.8 steals, 1.3 blocks. Does average 5 turnovers in this stretch, but those feel very Embiid-like, right? Like that, you know, it hasn't been, it's been against Memphis, it's been a game against Detroit, but he did play, you know, OKC when they were missing some guys, and then a game against Miami.
To get him back into the swing of things, right? If you're the Sixers, you don't want to throw Embiid out there into like a super intense game.
Which he did against Miami. That was a pretty intense game about a week or so ago.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, Miami's playing like shit right now, dude. I know that was an intense game, but Miami just doesn't look good at all. I think with Embiid, I still feel the same way I've felt. I think there's like I don't know if it's the DNA from our childhood of just always thinking something's going to go wrong with the Red Sox. But like,
isn't it amazing how that shit travels with you?
Know, like it's the narrative is still there, man.
So real quick. So I was trying to explain the other night when UConn won their sixth title in the last 25 years. I was trying to explain to my fiance, I was like, all right, so like UConn, when they first won in 99, my dad's side of my family is from Connecticut. And I remember this is like when, you know, I was 9-10 years old at this time. Like this was still like all we knew was losing. Patriots hadn't won yet. The Patriots went to that one Super Bowl, but they had generally been trashed. The Celtics had been trash in our lifetime in the 90s. The Sox were losers. The Bruins, not that I followed them a ton, but at that time I was young enough that if they were doing good, I probably would have been invested, but they hadn't won since like the 70s. So it really was around the time of that infamous Boston, I think it was in the Herald, they had like the Loserville cover that was, you know, just we're a bunch of losers in this town when it comes to sports. And I remember my grandmother, as the UConn parade was happening, she took pictures of the TV and then sent them to me because that was like the first time there was anything in the New England region that felt like, hey, we can win sports at a high level. Like this is actually a thing that could happen. And of course, fast forward 2 years later and then to all where we are today, you know, that seems unfathomable. People that only think about Boston sports, like, oh, you're a Boston sports guy. It's like, listen, I know I was only 12, 13 years old before things change, but that DNA that you're talking about, I 100% connect and resonate with it. And it fully shapes my view on every single sports season that I go through, despite all the winning success. That just does not leave you, especially when it's, you know, we've talked about before that that age range when you're 10 to 12 or 13, that really shapes how you view and feel about sports. And it continues to this day. So I think it's just funny how, you know, despite all the winning, we still can draw back to that connection of despair, I think is the way to, that was constantly in the air growing up.
Just like an overwhelming sense of impending doom and dread, right?
It's
and
like, that's kind of as good as something is. Just wait. It's going to go wrong.
Right. Yeah. Murphy's Law, right? And with Embiid, I'm just thinking about I was talking with my buddy at work today who's a Sixers fan, and he's kind of given up hope. He's kind of in that like sweet spot as a fan to be like, oh, it's just not going to happen this year, man. Like, well, you know, too many injuries. It's just not going to happen. Embiid, you know, he's back, but is he really going to be 100%? He's always hurt. And he's just like talked himself into the lowest of expectations so that if they exceed those expectations, it's going to be the best fucking playoffs of this kid's life. And I'm just thinking like, God damn, there's a narrative out there where like this was what Embiid needed to make it through a playoffs was to be hurt coming into the playoffs. And that's all he needed. And this could be the year that Joel Embiid just has the Embiid run where we look back 10 years, 20 years from now, and we're just like, God damn, Embiid was just that good. And like, it's the clash of the Titans, Jokic versus Embiid. There is that narrative there. I don't necessarily subscribe to it, but the little kid in me is like, fully believing that that's a possibility, which just drives me crazy because the rational adult knows that the Sixers aren't on the same level as the Celtics and haven't been for many, many years, right? But there's still just that part of me that is a little bit worried about that.
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes those narratives mean absolutely nothing. And then sometimes you get a whiff of it and you're like, oh shit, that momentum's real all of a sudden. And to your point of being in that perfect fan zone, you know, as Celtics fans, it's a gift and a curse because we came into this season with very high expectations. They've lived up to and to a certain degree exceeded them, except for the fact that they can't fully exceed them until the playoffs, right? So everything's cool. It's like, oh, they've been a good regular season team for many years now. When are they gonna win it all? And so instead, as fans, we now live with, you know, last year down 3-2 to the Sixers and the text thread that shall never see the light of day between me, you and Adam. Like, that's what we live with as it, where it's more almost relief than it is jubilation at certain points. And so, like you said, your friend is in a very good spot where only good things can happen. And if the worst happens, it's what you expected, you move on. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with Embiid and the Sixers. And that leads us to where we want to take this podcast here. And let's start talking about different playoff scenarios. I mentioned at the top, the East is just literally in shambles outside of the Celtics, knowing that they're going to be the one seed. There's two things we know. Celtics are going to be the one seed. The Hawks and the Bulls are going to be in the play-in. We don't know who's hosting that 9-10 soiree that's going to happen between the Bulls and the Hawks, but they will be the 9-10. 2 through 8, we have no idea what is going to happen. So let me just pull this up here real quick. I want to get I want to get this set up here with the postseed possibilities that we have here for the Celtics. So right now, this is both the Western and Eastern Conference that we have, and I have some percentages that will go along with it. But like I said, we know the Celtics are going to be the one seed. For the two seed right now, the Bucks, Knicks, and Cavs, all still in play. You mentioned it, Greg. At this point, with the Bucks beating the Magic last night, it's right now, it's an 82% chance they're going to be the two seed. So let's kind of remove that as a question mark. I would say that's now in the likely category with 2 to 3 games left to play for everybody. Go down to the three seed. You still have 5 teams involved for the three seed. Bucks, Knicks, Cavs, Magic, Pacers. 4 seed, those same teams still apply. Go all the way down to the 5 seed here. You've got the Knicks, the Cavs, the Magic, the Pacers, the Sixers, and even the Heat still with a chance to get to the 5 seed. Very, very slim. The Heat are almost destined to be in the play-in at this point, but still a slim chance. Same group of teams there for the sixth seed. And then you go down to the seventh seed, and this is where it's so crazy. If you're the Cavs, you can be anywhere from the 2 to the 7 seed. If you're the Magic, you can be anywhere from the 3 to the 8 seed. Pacers, 3 through 8 still in play. It is just an absolute mess right now. And I'm trying to think, and I mean, I guess the Celtics haven't had too much to worry about in recent years, but I can't remember it being this messy this late, where there's absolutely no way to do any type of jockeying, never mind the play-in messing up jockeying. There's no jockeying that can be done for anybody here, you know, in the Eastern Conference. And the Western Conference goes for them too.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, there's just been a lot of teams struggling, man. Like the Bucks losing all these games of late. The Cavs have been absolute dog shit of late. You know, the Knicks, they've just been riddled with injuries, and Jalen Brunson keeps putting on that superhero cape, man. Jalen Brunson is unbelievable. By the way, I know you had mentioned on a recent pod whether Jalen Brunson would work his way into the first team All-NBA discussion. Mm-hmm. Big Waz on the Ringer NBA show had him on his first team All-NBA team.
Yep.
So just wanted to say there's some people out there talking about it. So I wanted to give you some love for that. And then let's see, just looking at this right here, man, like my reaction to seeing this is just relief that the Celtics don't have to be a part of any of this stuff, but it also gives me anxiety because we don't know who the hell we're going to play.
Right.
It's like so many different options here for the Celtics to play. And you had a little exercise you wanted to do. Do you want to do that right
so
now?
Yeah, so let's do this here. I'm going to switch this up on us, and let's get this on the screen here. Let's see, what was the best one that we said was good for it? Yeah, this works here. All right, so I have the projected standings up here that has all of the percentages broken down. So Celtics got the 1 seed. For this exercise, let's say that the Bucks are going to get the 2 seed. So let's just eliminate that out of a possibility. The Bucks have the 2 seed wrapped up. What I want us to try to figure out here is, within the realm of realistic possibility, what's the best way that this can break for the Celtics? So if we're looking at this right now, the inside track to the 3rd seed, technically it belongs to the Cavaliers as of this moment, but it looks like the Knicks could potentially be that 3 seed. It looks like the Cavs would have the inside track to that 4 seed. If we go down to the 5 seed here, this is where it gets really interesting. This Pacers, Magic, Sixers mess is where I think we're really going to see the most movement, because the Sixers have an advantage over the Magic, who they play on Friday night, which will be, you know, a really high stakes game for both teams. But if there's a Sixers Magic Pacers three-way tie, the Magic then have certain tiebreakers that leave Philly at a disadvantage to fall back in to the seven seed. So as we're looking at these realistic possibilities, Greg, let's just go seed by seed. And, you know, I want to use the probability projections here just to give us, like, all right, if it's, you know, it's only about a 0.5% chance the Cavaliers can end up, it's less than a 1% chance they end up in the play-in. Let's eliminate the Cavaliers as a play-in team, right? Like, that's not a likely scenario. So that's not going to be something that I think we should look to here. But if we want this to break correctly for the Celtics, who do you think you'd want to see end up in this three seed realistically right now?
In the three seed?
So I just want to go seed by seed. That's okay. That's the point. I want to go seed by seed for this.
I think with the Cavs struggling to the degree that which they're struggling, I would probably want to see the Knicks, because OG's back and we weren't really sure what OG's status would be. I'd probably want to avoid the Knicks until the Eastern Conference final. So I would prefer that the Knicks stay out of that 4 or 5 and are on the other side of the bracket. So I would want the Knicks at the 3 seed. How about you?
I agree. I think that makes the most sense, and especially for where I think we're going to get to with what the either 2-7 with the 2-7 matchup or the 3-6 could look, or yeah, but the 2-7 matchup could look like. I agree with you, because I think the Knicks then going on to the second round and being someone that the Celtics can avoid until the conference finals, I think that makes a lot of sense. So now that puts the Knicks in the 3 seed. Now let's go down to the 4 seed right now. And for the 4 seed, the Cavaliers are still in play. This is still an option for the Magic and the Pacers. Not going to be an option for the Sixers. So let's just say we have the Cavs, the Pacers, and the Magic looking in that 4 seed, and remembering that that 4-5 winner is going to be who the Celtics would get in the second round. Out of those three teams, who would you lean towards as the ideal candidate to end up in that 4 seed?
Probably the Cavs. I don't think the Cavs could beat us, like, in any situation. I think there's a world in which the Knicks beat the Celtics. I think there's a world in which even the Pacers beat the Celtics. It's a weird world. It's a world I probably would never want to set foot in. But I do think there is a world in which the Pacers could somehow beat the Celtics. I really don't think the Cavs have any chance of beating the Celtics. So I would want the Cavs in the 4 seed for sure. So they have home court advantage that gives them a chance to a better chance to beat whoever ends up in the 5 seed. And when I say the Knicks and the Pacers have a chance to beat the Celtics, I mean like a 0.001% chance. But I think I literally cannot envision like the Dean Wade game happening.
I was going to say, are you not afraid of Dean Wade? Are you not afraid of Dean Wade, Greg?
I don't see that happening. I do see Tyrese Halliburton going crazy for a series. Aaron Nesmith taking out somebody's legs. TJ McConnell just like,
yeah, I think for any of these series,
mental hospital, you know,
like, any of these series without Embiid,
Siakam, like I haven't watched him as much with Siakam.
I think a lot of these series would need injuries from the Celtics, other than if Philly were hitting right, if the Bucks were hitting right, there's worlds in which those teams at full strength would have enough talent and depth, theoretically, to match up with the Celtics if they were having, you know, an off series. I think everybody else, it would have to be some type of injury that would prevent the Celtics from moving on. But okay, so let's lock in the Knicks at 3, Cavs at 4. That brings us to the 5 seed here, where we have the mostly at this point, we're looking at the Pacers and the Magic with the likeliest of probabilities to end up in that 5 seed. Which of those would you want to see as the Cavaliers opponent, knowing that one of those two teams would wait for Boston? Would you rather, for what you're saying here, would it be the Pacers with Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam, crazy man Aaron Nesmith, or is it the young guns, Paolo, Franz, the length of Jonathan Isaac? Who would you like to see in that 5 seed?
I think neither of those teams are going to beat us. I know I just said there's a world in which the Pacers could beat us. I kind of want just entertainment here. So if we're going to have the Cavs in that 4 seed and we have the Knicks in the 3 seed, I'm also thinking about who I want to see match up with those teams. And I think it would probably be the most fun if the Cavs were playing the Magic and the Knicks were playing the Pacers. I think that would be the most fun for me. But yeah, your thoughts.
I'm with you on that. And also Pacers Knicks gives us a little bit of throwback to the 90s, right? Like we had some Knicks heat last year, get a little Pacers Knicks. I kind of like that vibe as well. Cavs Magic. I'll tell you right now, I think there's a good chance if it's Cavs Magic, despite that being a 4-5 seed, and usually it's an 8-1 or a 7-2 matchup that ends up as the NBA TV special. I guarantee you Cavs Magic end up as the NBA TV special.
And I guarantee you, I will be telling all the people that still bet to bet the under.
Yeah. That series is going to be so ugly. But yes, I'm with you. I think that works out. The one thing I will reserve, so I'm with you on the Magic in the 5 seed. What I think, and I think this, if the Magic do end up with that 5 seed, it's going to basically eliminate the Sixers getting to the 6 seed, which is one of the parts that would be the only thing that would change my mind about having the Pacers as the 5 seed, is that I think that would then open up the possibility of Philly getting to 6. And then, therefore, you're going to have them with the Knicks playing in that first round, and then the winner of Philly in New York would then take on Milwaukee. So, therefore, I think you're then putting all three of the Celtics' probably biggest hurdles on the same side of the bracket to knock each other out, and then there's only one of them left, and they're beaten up likely, which kind of Philly and Milwaukee. Well, actually, all three of them are kind of coming and beaten up anyways, but they beat up on each other a little bit more. So that would be my only thing about whether it makes more sense for the Pacers to get the 5 seed so that it opens up the possibility of Philly squeezing into that 6. Yeah. And then in that scenario, you'd be left with a Magic and Heat play-in game. For the winner of that goes on to play the Bucks, and then you would get, obviously, the loser of that takes on the winner of Hawks Bulls. So which of those scenarios do you think, now that I'm just talking it out here more, does that change your mind at all?
This
about
is like doing a freaking crossword puzzle.
It's tough.
But I think I would probably, well, in terms of matchups, I think it'd be really fun to see if the Knicks are in the 3 seed, Knicks and Sixers would be really fun to watch. But I also think having Doc go up against the Sixers would be really fun in the 2-7 matchup with the Sixers being there. And then immediately having one of the two big men just knocking each other out in the first round, I think is probably ideal for the Celtics. So I think I'd probably prefer that, man. I think I the Sixers being the 7 seed, beating the Heat, right, sending the Heat spiraling into a matchup, a rematch maybe against either the Hawks or the Bulls, right? Because they lost to the Hawks, right, and they beat the Bulls. So,
and that's the wild card in all of this, is that, like, I think we're going to have to become Hawks Bulls fans for whatever that Friday night
play-in
game looks like. Trae Young is back, so we'll have to see, you know, how that looks. But, you know, like you said, to your point that this is like a Sudoku or a crossword puzzle trying to figure out all the scenarios, is that my own scenario that I laid out of, like, well, if the Sixers get the 6 seed, that still applies if they actually get the 7 seed, because then they just play the Bucks in the first round, and then likely they would play, if the Knicks win, they would play the Knicks in the next round anyway. So same logic applies, but it's just so... it's so muddled that it gets confusing to try to figure out which is which. So I don't know, man. Lot of moving pieces here. At the end of the day, I think for the Celtics, you know, first round, number one ideal situation, the Bulls or Hawks pull an upset. That's the number one ideal situation for the first round. Ideal situation number two, like you said, Heat are playing bad. Do you want to just play the Heat, or would you rather take your chances with most likely the Sixers or Magic? How would you rank those three teams if the Bulls?
I don't want to play the Sixers in the first round.
Okay,
just because of the little kid dread that we talked about earlier. I just don't want to see that.
And then Heat Magic would be the other two.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably rather play the Magic, but there's something about me that knows we're better than the Heat, and I just want to whoop that ass one time and sweep him out of the playoffs and make Jimmy Butler, I don't know. I don't want to send him spiraling into a depression, but I just want to shut him the fuck up, dude.
Have you seen his new commercial with Jeffrey from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
No.
They have some Hulu commercial where it talks about Jimmy going in motherfucker playoff mode. And yeah, all the sentiments that you're saying right now, you're going to feel it 5 to 10 times more after you see that commercial.
Okay. Because the competitor in me want, like, you know, when you're a fan, you're watching the game and you want to like punch the fucking television. Like, that's how I feel when I think about the Heat. I just like, I want to get in there and scrap with the team. Mm-hmm. If we lose to the Heat, I don't think I could handle it. That's the thing. Like, if we lost to the Magic, I don't even know what I would do. Like, but if we lost to the Heat, that would send me spiraling into a deep depression, honestly.
Right.
Like, well, like, well, I would be struggling, dude.
As you were saying, let's get this done with and let's whoop that ass with the Heat in the first round. It made me think, because, right, like, the two teams that Miami has kind of plagued and terrorized has been us and the Bucks, right? Those are the two teams that they keep
hitting. Two teams they also lost to in the playoffs.
Right. And that's where I was going with this. So yeah. If you remember, the Bucks were, I believe, the one seed in the bubble, right? And that's mm-hmm. when the Heat pull off the upset, ends up being Celtics Heat in the bubble conference finals. And that was the Celtics really being probably a year ahead of schedule, especially mm-hmm. with the Kemba knee injury. And that was, you know, it was all a little bit, a little bit of a mess in that situation. But that next
Daniel
year,
Tice starting center.
That's when, a lot of Daniel Tice in that. A lot of Grant Williams as a rookie was shooting major free throws. Remember that. And so the next year, that's when the Bucks came back on their revenge tour after it was like, I don't know, man. Giannis got two MVPs, but he can't get it done in the playoffs.
Swept him, right?
That's my point. First round came back and swept that ass. So that's kind of the precedent for the Celtics here is, you know, listen. This was what Milwaukee had to go through when they won the championship. They had the same demon of the Heat kind of lingering over them, like, hey, they're coming again. They already got us. Well, they took care of business real quick in that first round. That could be the same setup for the Celtics this year. Yo, let's get the Heat in. We know that we're better. We know that, especially with Kristaps in here, you don't got the size, you don't got the weapons, you don't got the tools. This is a different team. And we're going to send a message, not just to you, but to the league, that we mean business and let's go on a run here in the Eastern Conference. So I'm with you. I think it would probably be from the scenario perspective. Number one, Bulls Hawks. Just give me that. Just give me those. I'm very happy to take those. Number two, if somehow it ends up with the Magic, that would be preferable. But then three, give me the Heat over the Sixers. And if it's the Heat, let it be the Heat. Let's do this thing.
You know what's crazy? Remember being 16 years old, Will, so that would have been like, 16 years after, so we would have been 13 years old. So 16 years after the Celtics won the title in 1986, mm-hmm. right? We're just like thinking about how long it takes for championships to happen. So from 1986 to 2008, right? That's 22 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
Now, from the Celtics title, 2008 to 2024, it's been 16 years. So can you imagine like being 16 years old or 13 years old, you know, after the last title, and just remembering how you felt about how long it had been since the Celtics won a title? Like, for 16 year olds today, like, that's how they feel, man.
Right.
You know, it's like, it must feel like forever, even though we've been in the finals a couple times. Like, it seems so foreign to me that the Celtics could have been in the finals or could have been a good team because we were born in 1989. Right.
We've come a so long, like, way from that, from those early days.
Yeah, man. So it's just like so strange to me to think like the 2008 championship feels like yesterday, mm-hmm. but in reality, it's actually like kind of a long time. Like, the Celtics need to win this.
Like, I mean, I know you're about to have a baby, but if you think about it, like, just from that perspective, they're like a junior in high school or like a sophomore in high school, right? 16-year-old, something like that. Like, that's crazy. That's a long time for it to have been between championships, especially for like this franchise that, you know, it felt like in the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. That's what life is, right? Life is just going to the NBA finals multiple times per decade, winning multiple championships per decade. And now it's, you know, it's been what, since 86, it's been three finals appearances and one championship, like, since 86. Mm-hmm. So,
and we were lucky. Like, obviously we had all the Red Sox titles and all the Patriots titles. So we were spoiled with that. Even after the Celtics won, but like, man, it's been a while. It's been a while.
It's time to change it. So I think this is the year. We'll know more come Sunday afternoon. So Celtics play tonight against the Knicks. They've got Friday night against the Charlotte Hornets, and then again They will have the Washington Wizards in Mike Gorman's farewell call on Sunday afternoon. All of the East teams play matinees on Sunday that have games remaining, that is. And so after the Celtics conclude their game, everyone should be wrapping up right around that time. We'll know what that chaos of the standings that we just went through. We'll know what it actually looks like sometime Sunday afternoon. So we'll probably wait for that all that mess to clear up. And then we'll put together some analysis. And of course, we'll talk about Mike Gorman's final call. Man, it feels kind of crazy.
Mike Gorman, he of the Green with Envy intro.
That's right. He of the Green with Envy intro. Green with Envy fame, shall we say, for Mike Gorman, makes his last call and then hands over his mic to Drew Carter starting next year. So that will be a little bit emotional on Sunday. We'll talk about some of our favorite Mike Gorman moments. We'll talk about what we know for the Eastern Conference playoffs, since it will be more definitive at that time. But as always, Greg, this is fun, man. These live streams, I love doing them every single Thursday. We're going to keep doing them through the playoffs as well, so make sure that you guys are locked in with us. If it's the night of a game, it will probably be mostly focused as a preview podcast or a preview stream where we'll get you set up for that night's action. But we'll have it for you every Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central. Any final thoughts here, Greg, before we wind this one up?
Are you coming to watch UFC 300 with me this weekend?
I've thought about it. I'll probably stop by to say what's up. I have zero clue as to what's going on. I saw a headline that Dana White said this was basically every match is supposed to be like a headliner, like the equivalent of like it could be a UFC headliner. I have no idea if that's true or not. I might come by for an hour or two and just check out the vibes, but I don't know how late does UFC 300 go. They do it at, UFC operates on its own world, so I don't know what time the time
well it's in is. Vegas. So probably be done around midnight here.
Okay. But it starts at like 4 p.m., right?
Yeah, it'll either start at 4 or 5.
That seems so excessively long. Okay. I'll probably stop by for a little bit to check out the vibe. So I'll give everybody that's listening my uneducated thoughts on UFC 300.
That'd be a fun little segment, man. There's not much basketball to talk about, so.
Yeah, so that'll be one of our segments for Sunday. But that's going to do it for this live stream. As always, we appreciate you guys rocking with us. Appreciate you guys checking in. Let's hit you with some Black Sheep Optimists, and we'll catch you guys on Sunday. It's the end of the regular season. Gear up for the playoffs.
Yo, I flipped it like Simone Biles.
Miles from a throne, see me smile cause I found peace.
While I'm at home,
I rhyme a little bit different, got that sound of my own.
And with the time limit, I'm shifting, man, I'm proud that I've grown. It's that right time
to rise to the occasion, put the pen up on the paper
and flip the occupation. I'm getting motivated,
it's goals to be created.
I'm making this a moment, there's no time for waiting. See the city from a bird's third eye word.
I learn to observe what the many won't find. Don't mind me,
flying to the moon, doing fine. See, sliding on the ground,
I'll take another cup of rhymes, please God.
I lost a dollar and a dime piece. They found me on the floor while I was trying to find me.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.